Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494 gets your board. Lots to discuss this morning, or now this afternoon. All right, coming up an hour from now, we will get to Buster Only ESPN. He was set to join us a couple days ago, but then Joel Embiid, the team meeting, Maxi, the whole thing.
Stuff happened.
Yeah, stuff happened. So Buster was kind enough to push his spot back with us. We'll ask him about the Alec Boehm rumors. Is he out of here? And what could the Phillies get for a guy like Alec Boehm? And the latest on Juan Soto. So news came out a couple days ago. Phillies are going to get a meeting with Soto. Now feels like it's picking up a little steam. The Phillies might really be in this thing for Juan Soto. We'll talk about all that with Buster Only coming up at 1 o'clock. Kiss the baby later on the show before week 12 of the season begins. And we got to get to the latest on Jalen Hurts, who was on the injury report yesterday with an ankle, limited with an ankle. We'll hear from Jalen and how the Eagles are trying to keep him healthy for the stretch run of the season. All right, back to your phone calls on Sirianni. Would you extend him now? His contract only has 1 year left after the season. And of course, Joel Embiid, I'm ready to tank this thing. Sit him down. This season has been a joke so far. They're 2-12. George is hurt again now. The same knee George is hurt again. So I'm ready to tank this season. Wave that white flag for Cooper Flag. But so we opened the show today, you know, reading some of the quotes from Embiid after the game last night, because for some reason, camera wasn't in there. I don't know why. I'm not sure if PR with the Sixers tried to get involved, or it just happened to be one of those nights where everyone covering the game that covers the Sixers just didn't have their iPhones out with camera. Like, there's no video or audio, or at least we couldn't find any, of Joel Embiid. We have the quotes, you know, from reputable sources, like, you know, people that cover the league nationally and including the Philadelphia Inquirer. So we read those quotes today from Joel Embiid last night after the game, calling the person who leaked the message from the other night a piece of bleep.
A bad person.
Yeah, we could put in the word you want there, but a piece of bleep was said there by Joel Embiid. But luckily, how about this? This was so kind, wasn't it? We kept reading the quotes, but it's always better on the air if you can hear them. So is it, we have a voicemail, or Joel Embiid called in?
Yeah, he dropped by, left the voicemail,
Just,
you know, because he knew we were going to be looking for this audio today. So he did us a favor and just basically repeated exactly what he said.
Let's hear it.
Last night.
Well, whoever leaked this is a real piece of shit. We talked about a lot of things. I don't want to get into details, but the whole thing with Maxi, that probably took 30 seconds. But then again, it's Joel Embiid, so we got to make everything blown out of proportion. It's whatever. I'll take it all. I'm the reason for everything, so I'll take the blame for everything. It's fine.
You know, I really that is the first time I appreciated Joe all season.
Nice. That was,
that was
nice.
Kind to him, Hugh, to call in and leave that voicemail.
Man, that was crazy. Joe Conklin is crazy. Crazy
is.
Guy, man.
See Joe Conklin's comedy show at St. Albert the Great Parish on Welsh Road in Huntington Valley on Saturday, January 11th, and St. Dennis Parish on Eagle Road in Havertown on Saturday, January 18th. For tickets, go to joeconklin.com. That's your neck of the woods.
My neck of the woods.
Yeah? You going to go?
Yeah.
Let me get tickets.
Are you going to ask for free tickets? Because you should. I mean, he should give you tickets because, you know, that's...
You know what? He should.
He should give you tickets.
I agree.
You guys angling for free Joe Conklin tickets. He did that once. He did.
I opened for him before.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You should go up there and tell a couple jokes.
Make sure I don't want to upstage him.
You know? Yeah, of course not. You don't want the opening act to be bigger than the actual act. 215-592-9494. Joe with the voicemail there from Joel Embiid. Now, Joe's Joel is very good. I could hear that. That even as the inflection, I could, even though I didn't get to hear Joel last night, I think that was it. Let's go to the phone lines here. Let's talk to John in Philly up on WIP. Hey, John.
Hey, Joe. What's going on, Hugh?
What's up, John?
Man? Hey, guys. I just, this Nick Sirianni talk week after week, I just can't understand it. I'm not sure what you guys want out there that he hasn't done. You know, there's been one coach that's won the Super Bowl the last 2 years. You just look around the league. I mean, who would you rather have than Nick Sirianni?
You want me to reel them all off?
No. So let me ask you: LaFleur, McDermott, Campbell.
I think I would take
Shanahan?
All. I would definitely take Shanahan. I mean, there's no question.
Okay, so yeah, Shanahan. Not comparing Nick to these guys from a success standpoint because he hadn't had as much time. McDermott and LaFleur do not have winning records in the playoffs. These guys, LaFleur, Shanahan, Campbell, all got contract extensions well before their contracts were up. You wait till after the playoffs this year, you have a chance of losing Kellen Moore. There's a good chance our DB's coach is gone. So now you're left with Nick Sirianni on his fourth set of coordinators in the next year. Now, Fangio will probably be back.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the guy has built a culture around here. You don't hear any of this stuff. Yeah, it's great that we have a great roster, but sometimes the more talent you have, the harder it is to manage that. The biggest thing we had coming into the season was, oh, Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni don't get along. they're not seeing eye to eye. He seems to have fixed that, has he not?
It seems like that. Well, that's certainly the conversation around that and the tone from both of them, specifically Jalen. That, yeah, John, that has calmed down. And John, I understand your point. You make a good point on McDermott, who hasn't reached the Super Bowl yet. He got an extension. I'm guessing, John, this is trending towards that for Sirianni. But let me just say it. I just want to say something you're saying in a different way, right? You're kind of framing the Sirianni thing. John, right now, it's 3.5 years in, so we're about to finish year four. As of today, in one of his seasons, he's won a playoff game. And the two playoff wins he has are against Daniel Jones and a fourth-string quarterback. Like, can I see this play out?
Yes. Because the second win he had was against Brock Purdy, who we knocked out. Then their backup came in, who got knocked out.
Sure.
But that's the culture of the team he built, is to knock their quarterback
well,
out.
Well, all right. It was an injury.
Play for him.
I understand, I mean, they play hard for him. But, John, let's play out. I think they're going to win a playoff game this year. If they lose in the playoffs, 4 years with a top five-ish roster, 1 year of playoff victories, that's good enough?
No, it's not. And the thing I'm trying to say, I don't know who brought in these guys last year. Obviously, last year, the coordinator thing is a mess. I'm not saying Sirianni's done enough to get a coaching tree, but look at what Gannon and Steichen are doing. He clearly had an impact on those guys. They worked well together. They've been pretty successful coaches.
Yep.
I mean, Nick's had to rebuild that coaching staff and a new system year after year, and he's the stable force that's kept this team competitive. Granted, he's got his faults. Don't get me wrong. You know, he's not what Andy Reid is. Andy Reid didn't do too much when he started. Now the rosters were different. I mean, we had Hugh, of course. But, I mean, it took Andy Reid as long as it did for him to win a Super Bowl. He got to one, had a little bit of success in the playoffs starting out. I look around the league and I see some of these other coaches and these systems change, and I'm not that impressed. And all Sirianni has done here is win. And it's just the Eagles' way to re-up their guys and not wait till the last minute.
And they probably will, John. If they win the division, John, good phone call. Win the division, win a playoff game this year. I imagine we'll hear after the season a Sirianni contract. Says, can I just cause a little break for 1 second? A little timeout.
What you got?
Okay, well, you lived this, Hugh. I observed it, but you lived it. He was saying when Andy got here, it took him a little time to get going. Nick's done more quickly than Andy did, right?
Hmm?
Well, that was his point, was Nick got to a Super Bowl quicker. Nick won games quicker than... But can we take a deep breath on the situation each inherited? Like, when Nick Sirianni got here, there was Lane Johnson, there was Jason Kelsey, there was Brandon Graham.
Yeah, he had some ballers.
There was Devontae Smith, or they drafted him right away. There was Jalen Hurts. When Andy Reid walked in the door, the offense, I mean, we can go back and look at the 99 Eagles, but, like, come on now. Like,
we had a defense.
We had
some defensive players. But he had something to build with.
What about the other side? You could be honest.
We had to get a quarterback. We went and drafted Donovan.
Yeah, they didn't have nearly as much.
Chad Lewis was a guy who was a cast-off that Andy brought back, Coach Reid brought back, and made him a Pro Bowler. We had Torrance Small.
Charles Johnson.
And Charles Johnson. As our receivers. Deuce Staley was starting to come into his own. So we didn't have a whole lot. And we won games. I think what's lost on people is this. Is that when you look around the league and you look at the Eagles roster, even their record reflects this, but they are the absolute most talented roster offensively in the NFL, if you ask me. You know, when you talk about the offensive line and the receiving corps. But yet and still, it feels not just a – see, like, people – it feels like when we talk about this, people feel like it's a us thing. It's not a us thing. It's a national thing. When people look at this team and the roster that they've amassed, they've done – and let's not forget, the Eagles did something last year that was unprecedented, that has never been done in the league before, so much so that when they did it, people thought – they was like, wow, that's a first. And that's why the narrative is what it is. They got two top 10 receivers on the squad. They paid both of them. Most teams historically don't do that. In the past, they didn't do that. The Eagles did that. So, with all of that being said, when we ask the question or say, is this team underachieving, it's because of all of that talent that they have on this roster. It's not saying that Coach Sirianni is doing a bad job, but it's one of those things where I don't think it's out of pocket to ask how different it would look if it was, say, the coach we're playing this weekend. Sean McVay, if he was coaching the team. I don't think that's out of pocket, because you look at Coach McVay and what he's done. So I feel like people aren't looking at this for what it actually is. He's been gifted a hell of a roster.
Well, I think it's part of why, and you might say this is unfair. It's part of why you look right now at the odds, the top 10 to win Coach of the Year. He's not even listed. I mean, he's not even. The perception is, and maybe it's unfair, but the perception is, this is not hard to do, right? You're here. You should win games.
And part of it is because a lot of Nick is being penalized because a lot of people don't like him. Let's just call it what it is. He's considered to be an arrogant guy, and that's why I think that a lot of people when they call to defend Coach Sirianni, they think that's probably the narrative that me and you are taking. I don't feel that way. I mean, I get that. I think all the questions that we're asking here are valid questions when it comes to the football team because the narrative has been set.
Can I throw one thing out? Because we were talking about what we would do. Why don't we think they've extended him? I mean, he's their coach. They like everything Kyle has argued, they see it, right?
Well, I think this is sort of the prove it here, right?
Right. So, and then that's why I think this, as soon as the season ends, he's going to get extended.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any chance they let him be a lame duck.
I don't think so either.
I don't think
they shouldn't.
Well, he's an emotional person. I don't know if emotional people handle that kind of stress well. And this, right?
Yeah.
The pressure of this town, if we know the coach. Look what happened to Joe Girardi when he was a lame duck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy just lost his mind.
That's the downside of not extending him. Like, if we are correct and that this window's open for a while and next year might even be their best year, best chance to win a Super Bowl, you don't want to add the pressure of being a lame duck on the head coach. Like, the best thing the Eagles can do for themselves after the season is continuity next season. We saw what that did for us in 2022. We had continuity on the coaching staff. Like, if next year is truly their best opportunity, they need to make Nick Sirianni feel secure, whether they do it now, whether they do it in the offseason, whatever. But extending Nick Sirianni needs to be one of their top priorities. And I'll just add this because we're talking about the roster thing, and it's not hard to do. I'm not saying you guys are saying this, but, like, was it easy to do when they lost six of their last seven games with tons of talent on the roster last year? Like, it's not that easy of a job. Like, things can go badly. Like, he is getting a lot out of the talent on this team.
I think he's
not underachieving. I mean,
no.
that
no,
we
he's
could
definitely
be,
not yeah. doing that. But I feel like that's probably a part of the reason why they're assessing it the way that they're doing, because we still don't know what happened at the end of last season.
Well, and we also, I think we all feel really good about where they're going right now.
Yeah.
We also, we're 10-1 last year, and I understand the details of this look way stronger. They have a way stronger defense, and they're healthier, and they should finish well this year.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm Howie and I'm Jeff, I'm like, all right, let's this get to the finish line.
I also think we pretty much at this point know damn well what happened at the end of last year. The coordinators were turds, and the roster was aging.
Turds is
and the
so
the defense was horrendous. It was horrendous, and this defense is now good.
Turds is ridiculous.
The coordinators,
turd coordinators,
they were.
Oh,
man.
Guys, speaking of, you know, I forgot to bring something up, and then we'll go back to the phone lines. Remember, was it 10 days ago or 7 days ago? We talked about how it was the Brian Johnson revenge game.
Yes.
Do you guys have any idea? Because I didn't until yesterday. Do you know where Sean Desai is right now?
Sean Desai?
Mm-hmm.
Where?
He's on the Rams defensive staff.
Uh-oh.
The Sean Desai revenge game.
Oh, yeah, so scared.
He's coming at y'all. He's coming at y'all.
I had to bring
was
it up.
Was he scapegoated too? Dude, the Rams, young defense of the Rams, man. They're playing well. Jared Verse, rookie of the year. We probably scapegoated Sean Desai.
I actually think he got a raw deal. To fire him for Patricia, they should have just let Desai finish it out.
Yeah, that was kind of wild.
I mean, like, what was the point?
That was what they called
nasty
work.
Yeah,
like, but he wasn't doing a good job either.
I'm sort of just digging at the Brian Johnson conversation.
I'm just saying, back-to-back revenge games?
When Brian Mitchell and Finley were saying that he was scapegoated last year, get real. Sorry.
That kind of was. All right, Josh in Wilmington. What's up, Josh?
Hey, boys. What's going on?
Hey,
what's
Josh.
So, not a whole lot, but I'll tell you what, man. How many times, like, over the past little while, you know, like, I'm, like, trying to find a thought to chime in, right? So, I want to kind of hang with, well, I want to just chime in on both, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nick Sirianni, I look, I'm with Kyle. You know, we've had success. The players really, really rally behind him. I don't think a change at head coach at this point with what has been established is even should. I mean, I don't mind Nick. You know, it's unconventional.
He don't mind.
You know?
He don't bother.
I don't mind him.
Yeah, he can stay if he wants. Yeah, I don't mind him. He's all right.
No, listen, Joe. I mean, I don't get me wrong, man. I've been visceral, right? And like we all have. But at the end of the day, it's not like, oh, here we go. Let's fire a head coach. And then we just pluck one off of the street, for lack of a better term.
Timu.
And
shake a tree, like Howard would say. You shake a tree and you find a head coach.
Shake a tree And then, you know, whatever the biggest piece of fruit that falls out of the tree, oh, well, that's the winner, and there we go. We got that one. Well, I don't think that any of that is necessary. One, because, again, you look at the way that this team is coming together now, and I'm going to tell you, I feel something special. And I've been, you know, and I've been awfully, you know, on the fence. But I'm going to, you know, I have that weird feeling that this Eagles team is going to really make us happy come the end of the season. It's just one of those years where things are starting, the wheels are under the wagon enough right now. The train is moving. Let's just see how it plays out. Now, extend them right now? I don't think that's ideal. However, I don't believe that if he finishes the season with one playoff victory, that they're going to can him. It's just not something that I feel is going to be in their cards. Now,
I think you're right, Josh. I think you're right, and I feel really good like you do about this team, and I think right now the expectation should be NFC Championship game. Like, at least get there, and then we'll see what happens, you know, assuming Detroit's on the other side.
So I'm with you there. And then as far as the Joel Embiid thing goes, and I'm going to hitch my wagon right to Hugh. So think about this, right? This guy has been the product of losing. He doesn't understand. He's been allowed to do so much that for us to pull the reins on that right now, it's impossible. And as crazy as this is going to sound, I've wanted him out of town for the past 3 years. I'm all in with Chuck from Mount Airy. Like, he's got a stench to him that no matter what we talk about or what we say we want out of him, it's never, never going to change the individual. He is not changeable at this point. And let me give you an example. Let's also just get into the time machine not that far ago, go back in time not that far ago, and really focus up on some of the things that were coming out of that Olympic camp with Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr didn't want to coach him. You know what I mean?
He didn't want to play him. I mean, not Josh, it was supposed to be a spot for him to learn and get through osmosis, all that great stuff, and it actually became more of a referendum on what he just is. I mean, Hugh, you've referenced that. He went to the Olympics, and at one point, they didn't want to play him anymore. Like, that said a lot.
Yeah, that was telling to me about as far as his health was concerned.
Yep.
You know, and things of that nature, and then we turned around and we gave him $190 million. That
on
was
top
kinda,
of things, yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting, but... For me, this whole thing about trying to get Joel Embiid to change now, I think it's too little too late. And I think the biggest evidence is when he said after the game last night, who told on me?
That's you paraphrased it, but that's really basically what it was.
I mean, basically he said, who told on me? I mean, because Joe, to be honest, as a petty individual myself, that was the first thing I thought about.
You did, yeah.
I was like, hey, I wonder how to just get out now, because that's when my wheels start turning. I'm like, wow, he's been in the game 10 years. And we've heard people say all of this stuff about him in the past, and it's never gotten out. The fact that the way the Marcus Hayes story was handled, all of this, and now it comes to this, and you expect him to change. I don't know who thought that it was a good idea to publicly try to shame this cat, thinking that he was going to do the right thing or what you wanted him to do. Or you know, light a fire under. I mean, he played well, but how is this sustainable? I think he's playing well because he's more mad at the person who told on him, and instead of, you know, the team aspect of it. He's more upset about the story getting out.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. I also think great players are self-motivated. How many times has it been Doc Rivers or Brett Brown or us or Shaq or Barkley or this team meeting? How many people have tried to light a fire under Joel Embiid? And it doesn't happen. Like, see, either you're self-motivated and you want to be truly great, or you're not. Like, enough. They tried it, and that's okay. I'm okay with Tyrese Maxey trying it. But after a while, it becomes like, all right, keep trying.
It tells me all I need to know that, and it's going to sound like a leap because I'm going to say some names that you should say, you know, Joel Embiid should never be in the same breath of these guys, but that's sort of, it's a contrast, not a comparison here. Somebody like Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, they are the ones that demand excellence from their teammates.
Yep.
Joel Embiid should be demanding excellence from the rest of his team. For him to be the, like, for a 24-year-old player to say, dude, lock in, is completely ridiculous.
And it just, you don't find, like, go through NBA history, try to find the player like this that won a title. You just won't do it. I mean, because it just doesn't happen that way. 215-592-9490 for this hour, sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes. All right, we got a lot to do here, Hugh, the rest of this show. Coming up,
what we got?
At 1 o'clock, Buster Olney, ESPN, will join us. He's going to give us the latest on the Phillies, excuse me. Alec Bohm, he's the one that's been writing and saying a lot. Alec Bohm is very likely to get traded. Where could he go? I saw a rumor 2 days ago the Royals were interested. Like, what could we get back? I think we've all kind of discussed and thought that Bohm might be out of here. All right, well, what are the Phillies going to get back for a player like Alec Bohm? We'll ask Buster Olney. And what's going on with Juan Soto here? I mean, because the Phillies are now, according to a couple insiders, like, they're on the list, right? John Heyman saying they're going to get a meeting. Jim Bowden of The Athletic saying they're one of the 5 teams that really have a real chance to sign him. How real is the idea that I changed my name legally to Juan? I mean, that's what I'm wondering today. So we'll talk to Buster Olney coming up. Later in the show, kiss the baby, as we'll eliminate another NFL team. On the other side, Jalen Hurts popped up on the injury report yesterday. What to make of that? And a little throwback Thursday before a game against the Rams. 215-592-9490 for all your phone calls on Embiid. Would you tank the rest of the season to try to go get Cooper Flagg? Just sit Embiid down, sit George down, who's now hurt again, and we'll see how significant it is. And, of course, the Eagles. Would you extend Nick Sirianni's contract right now? We'll discuss it all. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Feels like an investigation might be warranted here.
What are we about to investigate now?
Well, all right.
You!
So,
what'd I do?
You were
show up late.
I thought we were past
today's
this.
Today's not the day to say it's what did I do.
I'm just taking my cues from the center of the basketball team. Call people out publicly.
Joel Douglas.
Joel Douglas. All right, welcome back. Midday show. 215-592-9494. Coming up, Buster only 1 o'clock. Talking about the Phillies. Alec Bohm, is he gone? And what could the Phillies get back? That's all coming up here. But here, we wanted to dive into something because sometimes things fly under the radar around here. Mm-hmm. You know, we got the Embiid situation going on. We're trying to stop Kyle from getting Nick Sirianni a contract extension too early. You know, we need to hone in on like things that slip through the cracks. And Yesterday, Eagles practice, right? We're having a good time. Yesterday, we want to thank everyone for coming out to Chickies for the Travis Manion Foundation.
Yeah.
You know, Lane's there, Mylotta's there, BG's there. They're all good. But yesterday, the Eagles had practice, right? Before those guys came over, they had practice, normal day. But I noticed on the injury report yesterday, Jalen Hurts was listed as limited with an ankle issue. Now, in the past, remember, he wasn't actually listed with an ankle. Remember, it was rest. And then Nick Sirianni kind of slipped and said it was an ankle. This is the first time, I believe, this year he's been listed with an ankle issue. So let's listen to Jalen Hurts after practice yesterday. Here's how he explained what they're trying to do over there and what's going on with his ankle.
Yeah, it's just a little program we have for the mini bye. So I'm fine.
What do you feel like you're getting out of that? Do you feel stronger? Do you feel like it's helping?
Yeah, that's the goal, always. And really, throughout the course of a year, just really making sure you're doing the things you need to do to stay on top of stuff. And that's kind of what we're doing. A lot of other players are doing it as well. So just taking it a day at a time, like everything.
So assume the mini bye came at a good time then to kind of get right a little bit. It's a long season.
I say so. You know, and it's kind of crazy how it's played out because we've had, you know, this early bye week that we've had, you know, this time here. So I think, you know, even when we talk about just our game in general, assessing things and really taking the bye week to kind of go through the same process.
So a couple things there. One, the mini bye is good for them because their bye was very early this year, right? Mm-hmm. If we're talking about them going all the way to the Super Bowl, that's a lot of weeks of playing in a row without a break. So this was a little bit of a mini bye. Hugh, what do you make of it? So it's the first time they've acknowledged there's an ankle issue. And the way he framed it is, I'm fine. We're just doing a strengthening program. What does that sound like to you?
Well, when I read the story, it was something about a core workout that he adopted after the bye, where he wanted to try to strengthen conditioning. That's what I read. So I assumed that, you know, it was a way of saying that he wasn't hurt, because this has been a big issue. You know, we know a close friend of ours who was taking a victory lap when they thought that, you know, the ankle thing was the non issue.
Oh yeah, when I got yelled at by that friend of ours.
Yeah, that friend of ours. He likes to tell you, I told you so all the time. This feels like they're trying to fall into lockstep with that to keep them from getting in trouble. There's something going on with his ankle. But Jalen is the type of individual, I don't think he likes to be on the injury list.
I agree with you. I think it bothers him.
It's a sign of, it's a sign of pride for him. So I don't have a problem with it. As long as it's not stopping his ability to play or hindering his ability to play, because I feel like this. At this time of year, everybody's banged up and everybody's dealing with something. Because if I'm not mistaken, I remember Tom Brady used to be on the injury report every week for like a knee the whole time he was in the NFL if I recall. And it's just one of those things. I don't think Jalen wants to be a part of that.
I like the idea of trying to get ahead of this, because he's gone into the postseason banged up at pretty much every year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like 3 years ago, it was his ankle. 2 years ago was his shoulder, and then we didn't even know what we were going to get out of him in the playoffs, and he ended up playing fine, and then the extra break before the Super Bowl, I think, really healed him even more, and he was great in the Super Bowl. And then last year, he had the knee issue all year, so this has been a thing with him every year. He's a very physical player. He gets banged up. I'm not shocked he is. I don't know. I mean, it really doesn't seem like it's affected his game, which is important. Though now I am wondering, remember the throw he missed badly to A.J. last week?
When we were looking like, what were you doing?
I wonder if he had trouble planting on that particular play. Because it was like, he threw it all weird. He didn't set his feet.
Yeah, and it was like right there. And A.J., you could see A.J. was clearly frustrated after the throw.
Yeah, I mean, at first I thought it was just a bad miss. Now I wonder, did he feel something more on that play and he just didn't want to plant?
Just for the sake of that play, because I've watched it a few times, it almost looks like there was just a miscommunication on the route. Like, AJ sort of breaks backwards, and Hurts looks like he's throwing as though he's about to cut toward the ball.
Okay. And he just let the ball go.
I just think they miscommunicated on the route there.
It almost reminded me of, you know, when a pitcher, a time is called as a pitcher's going to the plate and he kind of spikes it into the ground.
Right.
Like, oh, damn.
Yeah. Yeah, like he's almost stopped himself in middle of the throw and it came out looking really bad.
I mean, I could
just be completely making that up, but that was at least what I thought.
Well, we throw out reckless theories on this show.
You want another reckless theory?
Yeah, I want to. So option one is he's got a real ankle injury and they've been trying to like mitigate this. Option two is it's just a little bit sore and they're trying to get ahead of it, and that's probably best case scenario. Option three.
You want full conspiracy?
Go for it. Let's do it.
What if he's... What if he's secretly in the concussion protocol?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, he didn't look.
And the ankle is a placeholder on the injury report.
Remember last Friday, we speculated that he wasn't right after that game.
Yeah, he beat the concussion.
He beat the protocol.
Yeah.
He beat those concussion allegations.
Look, they said rest when it was ankle. What if they're saying ankle when it's concussion? What if they're just back?
You know, I don't think he would play with that, though. That's something you don't need to be playing with. I don't think he would play with that. It's full conspiracy time. Yeah. I hope he wouldn't do that.
I hope the Eagles wouldn't do that. I mean, that's going to get yourself in trouble there. Right, we'll keep an eye on it. According to the reporters yesterday, it sounds like he's supposed to be full practice today. Yesterday, limited, strengthening program, whatever that means. And then I'll be watching today. If he's full, then away we go. And he's obviously going to play Sunday. If he's limited again, I think it's worth paying attention to. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll get to a little throwback Thursday in a few minutes here before we get a big one against the Rams Sunday. Tom in Middletown is up on WIP. Hey, Tom.
Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on, Tom?
Hey, listen, Hugh.
Yes, sir.
I talked to you.
What's up?
All right, listen, I've been listening to this time slot for a long, long time. And let me tell you something. For you coming in late to work today, that's okay, because Joe DeCamera has done it many, many times.
He did, yeah. And I don't think his was about a car issue. I think he just overslept.
See, I don't like to come in. I don't like to be late to work, though, man. That's not the wheelhouse that I want to live in.
You don't want to be Joe DeCamera?
No, I don't want to do that, man. I enjoy our team meetings. I enjoy being yelled at by a 20-something-year-old on a day-to-day basis.
Screamed at. I feel like Joe has actually been more on time for a show that he has to wake up 3 o'clock in the morning for than a show that he could wake up at, like, I don't know, 8 or not, or 7, whatever. Joe's been less late in the morning. It's weird.
That is unbelievable that he could do that.
I know.
But I'll tell you what, this 10 to 2 is he was always late. And Hugh, guess what?
What's up?
You picked him up now.
I picked him up.
Yeah, like you got carrying the torch. You say
okay. Well, yeah, I don't want to. You know what, Tom? I don't want to carry that torch.
Well, now listen. Now, if you had a dentist appointment or a doctor's appointment, that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a different story.
I'll give you a okay on that.
But see, even if I had that, I would not schedule it during the time that I'm at work. I would have to schedule that after work. Shout out to my dentist, Dr. Bonzi. She usually gets me in pretty quick. So yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Well, you guys work Monday through Friday. I mean, how many times you gonna find a doctor or dentist when I was Saturday?
I got a great one. She works on Saturday. She does Saturday.
And
she,
Hugh sometimes needs that.
Yes, yeah. The way my teeth set up.
All right. Well, listen. I want to talk about dude. We are definitely going to extend Nick's contract.
What if they lose in the first round of the playoffs, Tom?
I don't care. You understand what this guy has done? Like, look what we have done. We ran Andy Reid out of town. The guy's won 3 Super Bowls.
He was here 14 years. We didn't run him out of town.
We ran him out of town.
He got 14. Now, look, I love Andy Reid. Tom, he got 14 years, and his last year here, they went 4-12 and won like one game over 3 months.
You know, it's funny. Okay, but, it was time to move on.
Look what Nick has done since he's been here. Look at his winning percentage. He's been in the playoffs. All you could ask for when you start the season, let's get to the playoffs, because once you get to the playoffs, then anything can happen. We've been to the playoffs every year he's been there. And now, okay, we haven't really failed. We went to the Super Bowl once. But come on, man. Give this guy a break. Everyone busts his butt all the time. He is like, he's a different dude, man. He's like,
well, that's for sure. Can I just wait until after the season, Tom? Am I allowed to wait? Just we wait till we see what happens the rest of this year. Playoffs, you know, we see how it goes. And then if they finish strong and they win a playoff game, he gets his contract extension. Is that, am I being unreasonable here?
A little bit.
No, I would do it now. Extend it now.
No,
you guys,
no, I understand it, no.
You guys are just impatient, jumping. You just want to have your Sirianni victory lap. That's what this is about. Because if they give him the extension, see, Tom, I get it. You're just like Kyle. No, I'm just kidding. Appreciate the phone call. I think the Sirianni people want to have their day. I think that's what this is. Contract extension, celebrate Sirianni Day. I don't think we're asking too much you to wait until the season ends.
Yeah, I think, and there's a reason why I feel the way that I do. I just feel like some of the things that Coach Sirianni has done, the organization just wasn't too happy about. Let's not forget, a couple weeks ago when he got into it with the fan, he had to come back and apologize for that. That sounds like a HR situation.
You think he wore a suit to the office that day?
No, he didn't wear a suit, but I'm pretty sure he got called in the office and would say, hey, man, you got to walk that back. But at the end of the day, this is still a business. The Eagles are a business, and they're efficient, and they're a highly ran organization, and they want to be perceived a certain way. They've done a tremendous job. When you think about top-notch organizations in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
Eagles are definitely one of them.
Oh, without question.
Without question.
I would say if you go the last, since Andy got here, right, that was kind of the tipping point. It changed.
Yes.
You can go to when Jeff bought the
team. The way that they do things. There are people that have been in that organization since I got here. They take pride in that, and they do things a certain way. And so I feel like even though, you know, we talk about it and everything, I don't think they like the way the public perception is about the team and how it's ran right now. I think that's a little bit of an issue for them.
I would say last 25 years, right, 25, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Can we come up with five better organizations in the NFL? I mean, Patriots, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Chiefs?
I would say yes.
Okay. The Colts have had a lot of success, Packers, but that
yeah, but they're a train wreck now.
I know they are now. Yeah. Yes, but I'm just trying to think like last 25 years. But the Eagles are right there, right? They're
not a whole lot of controversy.
Nope.
And
then, look, every once in a while there's a bad year, but that happens. Most years they're very competitive. Yeah, I mean they are.
It's like a mom and pop organization almost. Like that's what it kind of feels like. A lot of people, like I said, have been there forever. Not a whole lot of issues. Because I was even thinking the Texans have had their issues over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, with the Deshaun Watson thing and the owner.
It's a disaster.
Even the Patriots, the Robert Kraft situation down there in Florida.
That was a situation.
Yeah, it was. It was. And things like that. You don't really hear a whole lot. The worst thing that I could think of, as far as the Eagles are concerned, that happened was the Cooper?
Oh, yeah, Riley Cooper. And to me, that was an isolated incident of one guy.
That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen a whole lot.
No, it does. So 215-592-9494. Let's go to Marple Mac in Malvern. What's up, Marple Mac?
Hey, I'm glad you took my call. Yeah, when you started off the program, you were talking about keeping the same coach and continuity instead of letting them go. I mean, look at the Steelers. They've only had three coaches in what? 55 years or something like that.
They've been pretty great coaches, though. Pretty great coaches.
Yeah, well, I don't see why. I think you'd said it. This is what prompted me to call. When you said, if he has this hanging over his head, well, if we don't win a playoff game, what's going to happen? He's distracted. Whereas if you give him an extension, 2 years, 2 year extension, you know, and you were talking about Throwback Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I'll help you out here.
What do you got?
Mike McCormick, who a lot of people don't realize this, his first 3 years as a coach, he beat Dallas twice. His first year, they were only 5-8-1, and he crushed them 30-16, I think it was. And, you know, brought over Gabriel and got him a 500 season. Then they had a downer his third year, and they brought in Vermeil, and his thing was, I want to turn things around here in Philadelphia. Cut loose Poe James, bad man for the team. Sixers could use a little bit of that and cutting them beat out of there. Anyway, so his first year is 4-10, second year is 5-9, but they outscored their opponents. Third year, they had the miracle of the Meadowlands, got them in the playoffs, lost to the Falcons because They had a guy that was an electrical contractor, Michelle, couldn't make an extra point, and he missed a chip shot 33-yard field goal. The following year, they were 11-5, beat the Walter Payton, you know, Bears. I was there with my brother, got tickets in the Navy Yard. And then
the next year, they're in the Super Bowl.
And next year in the Super Bowl, then they start. But they stuck with him for 7 years, and he pulled the plug. He said, I'm burned out. Was the year that was the strange year when they had the strike in 82. He said, I'm burned out, and I think the players deserve better. And then he turned it over to Marion Campbell.
Yeah, and then he didn't coach again for 15 years in the NFL, which is amazing. He took that long to come back. Yep.
But yeah, I think they ought to stay with it. I think they ought to extend him now. And Kyle was talking about my letters writing to the Sixers. I'm still wanting to know if any of you have investigated the ones I already wrote to Sirianni.
Well Hugh in particular is trying to track those letters down. I don't know. Have you gotten the letters yet, the Marple Mac letters?
My inquiry has been inconclusive.
Yeah, we asked Marple Mac. We will still do it. I mean, Elliot's down there every day, and Marple Mac, we appreciate it. So we're going to...
Elliot's at the airport, ain't he? He turned up this morning.
Terminal ESP.
Yeah, he turned up this morning. He's out there hanging out with people getting ready to go to.
Can you imagine going like
LA?
Imagine being on a red eye, you get off the plane. Is that Elliot Shore Parks?
At 7 in the morning?
What?
Yeah, he was out. He's doing Get It In.
I mean, it's a great event. I mean, hang out with Elliot at the airport. I mean, talk Eagles. Yeah, we haven't tracked down the original Marple Mac letters. They're still out. It's almost to me like a. What was the message in the bottle back in the day? People would send it in the ocean, and you'd find
it. And
Marple Mac's letters. Like, one day someone will find them, and be like, what is this? Who's this message to Nick Sirianni in 2023? I think the...
Think it's going to take that long?
To find the letters?
Yeah.
Well, you've been trying on an everyday basis for how long?
Diligently. For a while.
I've been making calls back here, too.
Yeah, we haven't found them?
No.
If you have any information about the Marple Mac letters, 215-592-9494. All right, it is a Thursday here, so why don't we do a little throwback Thursday sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes. Oh, I like this music. I like this.
That's so dramatic.
It is. A little throwback Thursday. How about some Eagles-Rams memories over the years? Hugh, what do you got? The Eagles-Rams, I guess to you, it's got to go back to that title game, right?
Yeah, the NFC Championship game, man. Troy, I never forget. Troy, I used to sit with Troy. We was at the hotel in New Orleans. No, St. Louis.
RCA and, Dome, was that what they called it?
Yeah, and Troy was getting treatment because he had a bad groin pull. And I remember sitting in the treatment room with him, hoping he would get better. That was a tough game to play, man. That's when they were the greatest show on turf. And, man, I just remember that dome being just as loud as you wanted it to be. It was bananas up in there. Unfortunately, we lost. You know, but it was a valiant game, man. I think we were leading at the half at that one. And then Troy, you know, I guess that halftime when we came back out, his groin just couldn't hold up. And that's when all I saw at that point was the back of Marshall Faulk's jersey a lot.
Yeah, they were a great team.
And that's depressing.
Yeah, it
so
was.
So you saw the back of Barry Sanders' jersey.
Yeah, there's a theme going on here.
Yeah, them some fast. Hey, listen, I am not ashamed of that. Those are two fast Hall of Famers.
I love the clip of that Barry Sanders documentary where you just like your hands are on
hands
your
on the hips, man.
40 yards down the field, there goes Barry.
Yeah, I was like, hey, you might as well. Hey, I was like, hey, slow down, big fella. Might as well say that energy. You ain't catching nobody.
The shoe do
catch
anything
a
for us.
That's what you about to catch.
There's a lot of Eagles-Rams things. Obviously, that one is one of the biggest ones. It was an NFC Championship game over the years. But in recent years, there's been big ones, right? The Eagles at the Rams week, what was it, like 12 or 13 in 2017?
I think they were 11-1, maybe?
They were coming.
11-2?
11-2.
Because they just lost to Seattle. That was their second loss of the season,
right.
So they were 11-2.
Yep, they lost to Seattle on a Sunday night. Then they stayed on the West Coast, and they played in L.A. the next Sunday.
And if you remember, at that point in the season, it was like, are they legit or are they just beating up on bad teams? Because the first time they went and played a decent team in Seattle on the road, they lost, and everyone's like, well, what kind of team do we have here? McVay and the Rams are going to be a good test.
And it was a great game. Unfortunately, the biggest memory of the game was Wentz getting hurt. Wentz dives in the end zone. He hurts his knee. He gets up, and it was pretty darn tough for this. He threw the two-point conversion on one leg, And then he walked off the field. I remember Howard's report that he went in the tent. Now he's leaving the field. And then Foles came in. They won the game. BG walked it off with a touchdown. I think a defensive score at the end.
That's right. Yep, and Foles hit that. It was Aguilar on third down to sort of seal the game.
Yep, with a field goal late in the game. So they won. They clinched. That was to clinch the division, I believe. Clinched the NFC East that day. But obviously it set the stage for Wentz being out and the whole Foles thing. And then the next year they went there again. If I remember correctly, they were like 13-point underdogs.
Dogs, okay.
They were 5-7. I'm trying to remember the record at that point. 5-6 or whatever. They were at 500 or worse.
I think they start 4-6, and then they had ripped off.
They lost in Dallas the week before because Wentz in Dallas was his last game of the year, right? He had a back issue, and then they shut him down, or they said he was out for the Ram game, and everyone just assumed the season was over.
It was on the upswing of that run by the end of the year.
I think they went on a run, but then lost in Dallas to kind of fall back off. But then Wentz went out, Foles in 2018, and somehow they won that game. And that was against, I think that was the Rams team that made the Super Bowl. Like, they were flying high at that time with Goff. They were really good. Eagles won there, and then they didn't lose again until the divisional round.
And I remember that because it was, if we had beaten the Saints, we would have played the Rams in the championship game.
Again,
and Eagles fans were like, well, we saw what happened last time.
They just had beat him 6 weeks prior.
Foles would have repeated, man.
If Foles repeats, that's crazy. I mean, he's the quarterback. There's no question. Moving off a back-to-back Super Bowl champion, that would have been that. There's been a lot of big ones. Eagles, Rams, we get another one coming up on Sunday. All right, Buster joins us at 1. First, though, JD in Southwest Philly. What's up, JD?
What's going on, man?
JD, what's up? JD? All
right, so this is, let's start this phone conversation off like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you a caveat. Personality, to me, personality does not mean more than talent to me. It never has. It never will, right? Now, I get it. The city wants a pound of flesh. Everybody's upset. Everybody's mad, right? But I'm not going to let y'all rewrite history, and that's not what I'm going to let y'all do. As Embiid pissed me off recently with some of the stuff that he's done, yes, he has. But for 10 years, I have seen this man go out there and play hard. Literally, the only difference between him and Allen Iverson is the fact that he cannot stay healthy. But for 10 years, I've seen this man try. I've seen this man go out and play in the playoffs with injuries. I've seen him cry like a 3-year-old child when he missed the playoff game, when he lost in the playoffs. So don't tell me he don't care, okay? He's pissed off right now, and that's all it is. He's pissed off, and he's fed up. He's pissed off, and he's fed up. So recently, he's doing some things that the people can kill him for, right? And that's what they're doing. But he hasn't been like this for 10 years. And you're not going to convince me that he's been like that for 10 years because, unfortunately, I'm one of these people that don't treat the Sixers like a red-headed stepchild until the Eagle season is over with. I watch him. I love him. This is my team. So you're not going to convince me that this man has been like this for 10 years.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead, Hugh. Ask your question, Hugh.
Because, I'm not trying to vilify Joel Embiid. His teammates are talking about this. Like, so, and I would think in this situation, they have way more information than I have. So I don't understand that aspect, why you upset with us, because these are the guys that see Joel Embiid on a day-to-day basis. And this is what they're asking of him, and he's not giving it to them. So my question to you is this, JD. If they see him on a day-to-day basis and they work with him every day, how can you justify defending this man and they're telling you that he ain't living up to par? How can you justify that?
Okay, Hugh, and now I ask you this question, and it's simple. How many times have we heard this over the past 10 years? All right, the reason I'm upset with the fans, to answer your question, the reason I'm upset more so with the fans than with his teammates is because this is what's been going on for years. Like the people that don't like Joel Embiid is never gonna like him. Now you can now use this as an excuse because it just came up. But I've heard Howard kill Embiid for years.
But he's right. He's right. He's heard things and he's told us that he's late all the time and he works on his own schedule. Now the players are telling you the same thing. JD, I appreciate your fandom, but I think that sometimes when you love something that much, you close your eyes to the truth. And I think that's what's going on here.
I thought you were
going to
say you got to let it go.
Well, you also got to let it go. And last thing is, we got Buster coming up next. We'll talk some Phillies here. He said nothing's different between him and Allen Iverson than the few things he mentioned. You can't
just take you to the championship.
Yes,
though.
Thank you, Hugh. You can't just leave that out. Okay, in 2001, Allen Iverson led a team,
and he didn't go to practice.
Led a team.
And he took a bunch of bums.
No
disrespect.
Tyrone Hill and George Lynch.
I'm just using what everybody else said.
Yes.
He dragged the team to a final.
And on the way, he beat Hall of Famers in the first round, Reggie Miller. Second round with the Bucks and Ray Allen. The Vince Carter and the Raptors, then the Bucks. Back-to-back-to-back Hall of Famers, he topped to get to the finals.
And he didn't work hard to do it. Let him tell it.
Do you know who the best player Joel Embiid's team has beaten in the playoffs? Like, the best star on the opposing team is Pascal Siakam. Okay, that's Joel Embiid's career. Defeating the best player he's beat in the playoffs is Pascal Siakam, and you want to compare him to Allen Iverson? Stop. 215-592-9494. A lot of Phillies rumors discussed. We'll get to your phone calls on Embiid, the Sixers, and, of course, Nick Sirianni. We'll talk about it all, and Buster Olney will join us. Are the Phillies going to trade Bohm? What could they get? And the latest on the Juan Soto sweepstakes. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Feels like an investigation might be warranted here.
What are we about to investigate now?
Well, all right.
You!
So,
what'd I do?
You were late.
Show up late.
I thought we were past
today's
this.
Today's not the day to ask, what did I do?
I'm just taking my cues from the center of the basketball team. Call people out publicly.
Joel Douglas.
Joel Douglas. All right, welcome back. Midday show. 215-592-9494. Coming up, Buster, only 1 o'clock. Talking about the Phillies. Alec Bohm, is he gone? And what could the Phillies get back? That's all coming up here. But, Hugh, we wanted to dive into something because sometimes things fly under the radar around here. Mm-hmm. You know, we got the Embiid situation going on. We're trying to stop Kyle from getting Nick Sirianni a contract extension too early. You know, we need to hone in on, like, things that slip through the cracks. And yesterday, Eagles practice, right? We're having a good time. Yesterday, we want to thank everyone for coming out to Chickies for the Travis Manion Foundation.
Yeah.
You know, Lane's there. Mylotta's there. BG's there. They're all good. But yesterday, the Eagles had practice, right? Before those guys came over, they had practice, normal day. But I noticed on the injury report yesterday, Hugh, Jalen Hurts was listed as limited with an ankle issue. Now, in the past, remember, he wasn't actually listed with an ankle. Remember, it was rest. And then Nick Sirianni kind of slipped and said it was an ankle. This is the first time, I believe, this year he's been listed with an ankle issue. So let's listen to Jalen Hurts after practice yesterday. Here's how he explained what they're trying to do over there and what's going on with his ankle.
Yeah, it's just a little program we have for the mini bye. So I'm fine.
What do you feel like you're getting out of that? Do you feel stronger? Do you feel like it's helping?
Yeah, that's the goal, always. And really, throughout the course of a year, just really making sure you're doing the things you need to do to stay on top of stuff. And that's kind of what we're doing. A lot of other players are doing it as well. So just taking it a day at a time, like everything.
So I assume the mini bye came at a good time then to kind of get right a little bit. It's a long season.
Yeah, I say so. You know, and it's kind of crazy how it's played out because we've had, you know, this early bye week that we've had, you know, this time here. So I think, you know, even when we talk about just our game in general, assessing things and really taking the bye week to kind of go through the same process.
So a couple things there. One, the mini bye is good for them because their bye was very early this year, right? Mm-hmm. If we're talking about them going all the way to the Super Bowl, that's a lot of weeks of playing in a row without a break. So this was a little bit of a mini bye. Hugh, what do you make of it? So it's the first time they've acknowledged there's an ankle issue. And the way he framed it is, I'm fine. We're just doing a strengthening program. What does that sound like to you?
Well, when I read the story, it was something about a core workout that he adopted after the bye where he wanted to try to strengthen conditioning. That's what I read. So I assumed that, you know, it was a way of saying that he wasn't hurt because this has been a big issue. You know, we know a friend of our, close friend of ours, who was taking a victory lap when they thought that, you know, the ankle thing was the non-issue.
Oh, yeah, when I got yelled at by that friend of ours?
Yeah, that friend of ours. He likes to tell you, I told you so all the time. This feels like they're trying to fall into lockstep with that to keep them from getting in trouble. There's something going on with his ankle. But Jalen is the type of individual, I don't think he likes to be on the injury list.
I agree with you. I think it bothers him.
It's a sign of, you know, it's a sign of pride for him. So I don't have a problem with it. As long as it's not stopping his ability to play or hindering his ability to play, because I feel like this, at this time of year, everybody's banged up and everybody's dealing with something. Because if I'm not mistaken, I remember Tom Brady used to be on the injury report every week for like a knee the whole time he was in the NFL if I recall. And it's just one of those things. I don't think Jalen wants to be a part of that.
I like the idea of trying to get ahead of this because he's gone into the postseason banged up at pretty much every year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like 3 years ago, it was his ankle. 2 years ago, it was his shoulder. And then we didn't even know what we were going to get out of him in the playoffs. And he ended up playing fine. And then the extra break before the Super Bowl, I think, really healed him even more. And he was great in the Super Bowl. And then last year, he had the knee issue all year. So this has been a thing with him every year. He's a very physical player. He gets banged up. I'm not shocked he is. I don't know. I mean, it really doesn't seem like it's affected his game, which is important. Though now I am wondering, remember the throw he missed badly to A.J. last week?
When we were looking like, what were you doing?
I wonder if he had trouble planting on that particular play. Because it was like, he threw it all weird. He didn't set his feet.
Yeah, and it was like right there. And A.J., you could see A.J. was clearly frustrated after the throw.
Yeah. I mean, at first I thought it was just a bad miss. Now I wonder, did he feel something more on that play and he just didn't want to plant?
Just for the sake of that play, because I've watched it a few times, it almost looks like there was just a miscommunication on the route. Like, AJ sort of breaks backwards, and Hurts looks like he's throwing as though he's about to cut toward the ball.
Okay. And he, it was a like he and he just let the ball go.
I just think they miscommunicated on the route there.
It almost reminded me of, you know, when a pitcher time is called as a pitcher's going to the plate and he kind of spikes it into the ground.
Right.
Like, oh, damn.
Yeah. Like he's almost stopped himself in middle of the throw and it came out looking really bad.
I mean, I could
just be completely making that up, but that was at least what I thought.
Well, we throw out reckless theories on this show.
You want another reckless theory?
Yeah, I want to. So option one is he's got a real ankle injury and they've been trying to like mitigate this. Option two is it's just a little bit sore and they're trying to get ahead of it. And that's probably best case scenario. Option three.
You want full conspiracy?
Go for it.
Let's do it.
What if he's... What if he's secretly in the concussion protocol?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, he didn't look.
And the ankle is a placeholder on the injury
report.
Remember
last Friday we speculated that he wasn't right after that game?
Yeah, he beat the concussion.
He beat the protocol.
Yeah.
He beat those concussion allegations.
They said rest when it was ankle. What if they're saying ankle when it's concussion? What if they're just back?
I don't think he would play with that, though. That's something you don't need to be playing with. I don't think he would play with that. It's full conspiracy time. Yeah. I hope he wouldn't do that.
I hope the Eagles wouldn't do that. I mean, that's going to get yourself in trouble there. We'll keep an eye on it. According to the reporters yesterday, it sounds like he's supposed to be full practice today. Yesterday, limited, strengthening program, whatever that means. And then I'll be watching today. If he's full, then away we go. And he's obviously going to play Sunday. If he's limited again, I think it's worth paying attention to. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll get to a little throwback Thursday in a few minutes here before we get a big one against the Rams Sunday. Tom in Middletown is up on WIP. Hey, Tom.
Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on, Tom?
Hey, listen, Hugh.
Yes, sir.
I talked to you.
What's up?
All right, listen, I've been listening to this time slot for a long, long time. And let me tell you something. For you coming in late to work today, that's okay, because Joe DeCamera has done it many, many times.
He did, yeah. And I don't think his was about a car issue. I think he just overslept.
I don't like to be late to work, though, man. That's not the wheelhouse that I want to live in.
You don't want to be Joe DeCamera?
No, I don't want to do that, man. I enjoy our team meetings. I enjoy being like yelled at by a 20-something-year-old on a day-to-day basis.
Screamed at. I feel like Joe has actually been more on time for a show that he has to wake up 3 o'clock in the morning for than a show that he could wake up at, like, I don't know, 8 or 9 or 7, whatever. Joe's been less late in the morning. It's weird.
That is unbelievable that he could do that.
I know.
But I'll tell you what, this 10 to 2 is he was always late. And Hugh, guess what?
What's up?
You picked him up now.
I picked him up.
Yeah, like you got carrying the torch. He's saying,
"Okay, well, yeah, I don't want to. You know what, Tom? I don't want to carry that torch."
Now, if you had a dentist appointment or a doctor's appointment, that's okay.
Okay,
yeah, that's a different story.
I'll give you a okay on that.
But see, even if I had that, I would not schedule it during the time that I'm at work. I would have to schedule that after work. Shout out to my dentist, Dr. Bonzi. She usually gets me in pretty quick. So yeah, I wouldn't do that.
You guys work Monday through Friday. I mean, how many times you going to find a doctor or dentist when it's Saturday?
I got a great one. She works on Saturday. She does Saturday.
And Hugh sometimes needs that.
Yes. Yeah. The way my teeth set up.
All right. Well, listen. I want to talk about dude. We are definitely. Going to extend Nick's contract.
What if they lose in the first round of the playoffs, Tom?
I don't care. You understand what this guy has done? Like, look what we have done. We ran Andy Reid out of town. The guy's won 3 Super Bowls.
He was here 14 years. We didn't run him out of town.
We ran him out of town.
He got 14. Now, look, I love Andy Reid. Tom, he got 14 years. And his last year here, they went 4-12 and won one game over 3 months.
You know, it's funny. It was time to move on.
Look what Nick has done since he's been here. Look at his winning percentage. He's been in the playoffs. All you could ask for when you start the season, let's get to the playoffs. Because once you get to the playoffs, then anything can happen. We've been to the playoffs every year he's been there. And now, okay, we haven't really failed. We went to the Super Bowl once. But come on, man. Give this guy a break.
Everyone busts his butt all the time. He is like, he's a different dude, man. He's like,
well, that's for sure. Can I just wait until after the season, Tom? Am I allowed to wait? Just we wait till we see what happens the rest of this year. Playoffs, you know, we see how it goes. And then if they finish strong and they win a playoff game, he gets his contract extension. Is that, am I being unreasonable here?
A little bit.
No, I would do it now. Extend it now.
No,
you guys,
no, I understand it, no.
You guys are just impatient, jumping. You just want to have your Sirianni victory lap. That's what this is about. Because if they give him the extension, see, Tom, I get it. You're just like Kyle. No, I'm just kidding. Appreciate the phone call. I think the Sirianni people want to have their day. I think that's what this is. Contract extension, celebrate Sirianni Day. I don't think we're asking too much you to wait until the season ends.
Yeah, I think, and there's a reason why I feel the way that I do. I just feel like some of the things that Coach Sirianni has done, the organization just wasn't too happy about. Let's not forget, a couple weeks ago when he got into it with the fan, he had to come back and apologize for that. That sounds like a HR situation.
You think he wore a suit to the office that day?
No, he didn't wear a suit, but I'm pretty sure he got caught in the office and would say, hey, man, you got to walk that back. At the end of the day, this is still a business. The Eagles are a business, and they're efficient, and they're a highly ran organization, and they want to be perceived a certain way. They've done a tremendous job. When you think about top-notch organizations in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
Eagles are definitely one of them.
Oh, without question.
Without question.
I would say if you go the last, since Andy got here, right, that was kind of the tipping point of change.
Yes.
You can go to when Jeff bought the
team. The way that they do things, there are people that have been in that organization since I got here. They take pride in that, and they do things a certain way. And so I feel like even though, you know, we talk about it everything, I don't think they like the way the public perception is about the team and how it's ran right now. I think that's a little bit of an issue for them.
I would say last 25 years, right, 25, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Can we come up with five better organizations in the NFL? I mean, Patriots, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Chiefs?
I would say yes.
Okay. The Colts have had a lot of success, Packers, but
they're a train wreck now.
I know they are now. Yeah. Yes, but I'm just trying to think like last 25 years. But the Eagles are right there, right? They're
not a whole lot of controversy.
Nope.
And
then, look, every once in a while there's a bad year, but that happens. Most years they're very competitive. Yeah, I mean they are.
It's like a mom and pop organization almost. Like that's what it kind of feels like. A lot of people, like I said, have been there forever. Not a whole lot of issues. Because I was even thinking the Texans. Even the Texans have had their issues over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, with the Deshaun Watson thing and the owner.
It's a disaster.
Even the Patriots, the Robert Kraft situation down there in Florida.
That was a situation.
Yeah, it was. It was. And things like that. You don't really hear a whole lot. The worst thing that I could think of, as far as the Eagles are concerned, that happened was the Cooper?
Oh, yeah, Riley Cooper. And to me, that was an isolated incident of one guy.
But that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen a whole lot.
No, it does. So 215-592-9494. Let's go to Marple Mac in Malvern. What's up, Marple Mac?
Hey, I'm glad you took my call. Yeah, when you started off the program, you were talking about keeping the same coach and continuity instead of letting them go. I mean, look at the Steelers. They've only had three coaches in what? 55 years or something like that.
They've been pretty great coaches, though. Pretty great coaches.
Yeah. Well, I don't see why. I think you'd said it. This is what prompted me to call. When you said, if he has this hanging over his head, well, if we don't win a playoff game, what's going to happen? He's distracted. Whereas if you give him an extension, 2 years, 2 year extension, you know, and you were talking about Throwback Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I'll help you out here.
What do you got?
Mike McCormick, who a lot of people don't realize this, his first 3 years as a coach, he beat Dallas twice. His first year, they were only 5-8-1, and he crushed them 30-16, I think it was. And, you know, brought over Gabriel and got him a 500 season. Then they had a downer his third year, and they brought in Vermeil, and his thing was, I want to turn things around here in Philadelphia. Cut loose Poe James, bad man for the team. Sixers could use a little bit of that and cutting them beat out of there. Anyway, so his first year is 4-10, second year is 5-9, but they outscored their opponents. Third year, they had the miracle of the Meadowlands, got them in the playoffs, lost to the Falcons because
They had a guy that was an electrical contractor, Michelle, couldn't make an extra point, and he missed a chip shot 33-yard field goal. The following year, they were 11-5, beat the Walter Payton, you know, Bears. I was there with my brother, got tickets in the Navy Yard. And then
the next year, they're in the Super Bowl.
And next year in the Super Bowl, then they start. But they stuck with him for 7 years, and he pulled the plug. He said, I'm burned out. Was the year that was the strange year when they had the strike in 82. He said, I'm burned out, and I think the players deserve better. And then he turned it over to Marion Campbell.
Yeah, and then he didn't coach again for 15 years in the NFL, which is amazing. He took that long to come back. Yep.
But yeah, I think they ought to stay with it. I think they ought to extend him now. And Kyle was talking about my letters writing to the Sixers. I'm still wanting to know if any of you have investigated the ones I already wrote to Sirianni.
Well Hugh in particular is trying to track those letters down. I don't know. Have you gotten the letters yet, the Marvel Mac letters?
My inquiry has been inconclusive.
Yeah, we asked Marvel Mac. We will still do it. I mean, Elliot's down there every day, and Marvel Mac, we appreciate it. So we're going to...
Elliot's at the airport, ain't he? He turned up this morning.
Terminal ESP.
Yeah, he turned up this morning. He's out there hanging out with people getting ready to go to.
Can you imagine going like
LA? Imagine being on a red eye, you get off the plane. Is that Elliott Shore Parks?
At 7 in the morning?
What?
Yeah, he was out. He's doing get it in.
I mean, it's a great event. I mean, hang out with Elliott at the airport. We can talk Eagles. We haven't tracked down the original Marple Mac letters. They're still out. It's almost to me like a. What was the message in the bottle back then? People would send it in the ocean and you'd find
it. And
Marple Max letters. Like one day someone will find them and be like, what is this? Who's this message to Nick Sirianni in 2023? I think the.
Think it's going to take that long?
To find the letters?
Yeah.
Well, you've been trying on an everyday basis for
diligently. For a while.
I've been making calls back here too.
Yeah. And we haven't found them?
No.
If you have any information about the Marple Mac letters, 215-592-9494. All right, it is a Thursday here, so why don't we do a little throwback Thursday sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes. Oh, I like this music. I like this.
That's so dramatic.
It is. A little throwback Thursday. How about some Eagles-Rams memories over the years? Hugh, what do you got? The Eagles-Rams, I guess to you, it's got to go back to that title game, right?
Yeah, the NFC Championship game, man. Troy, I never forget. Troy, I used to sit with Troy. We was at the hotel in New Orleans. No, St. Louis.
Mm. RCA and Dome, was that what they called it?
Yeah, and Troy was getting treatment because he had a bad groin pull. And I remember sitting in the treatment room with him, hoping he would get better. That was a tough game to play, man. That's when they were the greatest show on turf. And, man, I just remember that dome being just as loud as you wanted it to be. It was bananas up in there. Unfortunately, we lost. You know, but it was a valiant game, man. I think we were leading at the half at that one. And then Troy, you know, I guess that halftime when we came back out, his groin just couldn't hold up. And that's when all I saw at that point was the back of Marshall Faulk's jersey a lot.
Yeah, they were a great team.
And that's depressing.
Yeah, it was.
So you saw the back of Barry Sanders' jersey.
Yeah, there's a theme going on here.
Yeah, them some fast. Hey, listen, I am not ashamed of that. Those are two fast Hall of Famers.
I love the clip of that Barry Sanders documentary where you just like, your hands are on
hands
your hips.
Hands on the hips, man.
40 yards down the field, there goes Barry.
Yeah, I was like, I was like, slow down, big fella. Might as well say that energy. You ain't catching nobody.
The shoe do
catch
anything
a
for us.
That's what you about to catch.
There's a lot of Eagles-Rams things. Obviously, that one is one of the biggest ones. It was an NFC Championship game over the years. But in recent years, there's been big ones, right? The Eagles at the Rams week, what was it, like 12 or 13 in 2017?
I think they were 11-1, maybe?
They were coming.
11-2?
11-2.
Because they just lost to Seattle. That was their second loss of the season,
right.
So they were 11-2.
Yep, they lost to Seattle on a Sunday night, and they stayed on the West Coast, and they played in L.A. the next Sunday.
And if you remember, at that point in the season, it was like, are they legit or are they just beating up on bad teams? Because the first time they went and played a decent team in Seattle on the road, they lost, and everyone's like, well, what kind of team do we have here? McVay and the Rams are going to be a good test.
And it was a great game. Unfortunately, the biggest memory of the game was Wentz getting hurt, right? Wentz dives in the end zone. He hurts his knee. He gets up, and it was pretty darn tough for this. He threw the two-point conversion on one leg, And then he walked off the field. I remember Howard's report that he went in the tent. Now he's leaving the field. And then Foles came in. They won the game. BG walked it off with a touchdown. I think a defensive score at the end.
That's right. Yep, and Foles hit that. It was Aguilar on third down to sort of seal the game.
Yep, with a field goal late in the game. So they won. They clinched. That was to clinch the division, I believe. Clinched the NFC East that day. But obviously it set the stage for Wentz being out and the whole Foles thing. And then the next year they went there again. If I remember correctly, they were like 13-point underdogs.
Dogs, okay.
They were 5-7. I'm trying to remember the record at that point. 5-6 or whatever. They were at 500 or worse.
I think they start 4-6, and then they had ripped off.
They lost in Dallas the week before because Wentz in Dallas was his last game of the year, right? He had a back issue, and then they shut him down, or they said he was out for the Ram game, and everyone just assumed the season was over.
It was on the upswing of that run by the end of the year.
I think they went on a run, but then lost in Dallas to kind of fall back off. But then Wentz went out, Foles in 2018, and somehow they won that game, and that was against. I think that was the Rams team that made the Super Bowl. Like, they were flying high at that time with Goff. They were really good. Eagles won there, and then they didn't lose again until the divisional round.
And I remember that because it was, if we had beaten the Saints, we would have played the Rams in the championship game.
Again,
and Eagles fans were like, well, we saw what happened last time.
They just had beat him 6 weeks prior.
Foles would have repeated, man.
If Foles repeats, that's crazy. I mean, he's the quarterback. There's no question. Moving off a back-to-back Super Bowl champion, that would have been that. There's been a lot of big ones. Eagles, Rams, we get another one coming up on Sunday. All right, Buster joins us at 1. First, though, JD in Southwest Philly. What's up, JD?
What's going on, man?
JD, what's up? JD? All
right, so this is, let's start this phone conversation off like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you a caveat. Personality, to me, does not mean more than talent to me. It never has. It never will, right? Now, I get it. The city wants a pound of flesh. Everybody's upset. Everybody's mad, right? But I'm not going to let y'all rewrite history, and that's not what I'm going to let y'all do. As Embiid pissed me off recently with some of the stuff that he's done, yes, he has. But for 10 years, I have seen this man go out there and play hard. Literally, the only difference between him and Allen Iverson is the fact that he cannot stay healthy. But for 10 years, I've seen this man try. I've seen this man go out and play in the playoffs with injuries. I've seen him cry like a 3-year-old child when he missed the playoff game, when he lost in the playoffs. So don't tell me he don't care, okay? He's pissed off right now, and that's all it is. He's pissed off, and he's fed up. He's pissed off, and he's fed up. So recently, he's doing some things that the people can kill him for, right? And that's what they're doing. But he hasn't been like this for 10 years. And you're not going to convince me that he's been like that for 10 years because, unfortunately, I'm one of these people that don't treat the Sixers like a red-headed stepchild until the Eagles season is over with. I watch him. I love him. This is my team. So you're not going to convince me that this man has been like this for 10 years.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead, Hugh. Ask your question, Hugh.
Because, I'm not trying to vilify Joel Embiid. His teammates are talking about this. Like, so, and I would think in this situation, they have way more information than I have. So I don't understand that aspect, why you upset with us, because these are the guys that see Joel Embiid on a day-to-day basis. And this is what they're asking of him, and he's not giving it to them. So my question to you is this, JD. If they see him on a day-to-day basis and they work with him every day, how can you justify defending this man? And they're telling you that he ain't living up to par. How can you justify that?
Okay, Hugh, and now I ask you this question, and it's simple. How many times have we heard this over the past 10 years? All right, the reason I'm upset with the fans, to answer your question, the reason I'm upset more so with the fans than with his teammates is because this is what's been going on for years. Like the people that don't like Joel Embiid is never gonna like him. Now you can now use this as an excuse because it just came up. But I've heard Howard kill Embiid for years.
But he's right. He's right. He's heard things and he's told us that he's late all the time and he works on his own schedule. Now the players are telling you the same thing. JD, I appreciate your fandom, but I think that sometimes when you love something that much, you close your eyes to the truth. And I think that's what's going on here.
I thought you were
going to
say you got to let it go.
Well, you also got to let it go. And last thing is, we got Buster coming up next. We'll talk some Phillies here. He said nothing's different between him and Allen Iverson than the few things he mentioned. You can't
Allen
just
took you to the championship.
Yes,
though.
Thank you, Hugh. You can't just leave that out. Okay, in 2001, Allen Iverson led a team,
and he didn't go to practice.
Led a team,
and he took a bunch of bums.
You
no,
said,
no disrespect,
Tyrone Hill and George.
No, no,
I mean, come on.
I'm just using the what everybody else said.
Yes.
He dragged the team to a final,
and on the way he beat Hall of Famers in the first round, Reggie Miller. Second round with the Bucks and Ray Allen, the Vince Carter and the Raptors. Then the Bucks, back to back to back Hall of Famers. He topped to get to the finals.
And he didn't work hard to do it. Well, let him tell it.
Do you know who the best player Joel Embiid's team has beaten in the playoffs? Like the best star on the opposing team is Pascal Siakam. Okay, that's Joel Embiid's career. Defeating the best player he's beat in the playoffs is Pascal Siakam, and you want to compare him to Allen Iverson? Stop. 215-592-9494. A lot of Phillies rumors discussed. We'll get to your phone calls on Embiid, the Sixers, and, of course, Nick Sirianni. We'll talk about it all, and Buster Olney will join us. Are the Phillies going to trade Bohm? What could they get? And the latest on the Juan Soto sweepstakes. Sports Radio 94 WIP.